Amen. Good to be back in the house of God tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that you're here. Good crowd on a Friday night. Thankful that you're here, but I'm thankful more that the Lord showed up. Amen. And I'm so thankful that He would be mindful of us. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I was the Lord, I wouldn't have nothing to do with me. Amen. But He loves us that much. Amen. He'd be willing to pass by our way, reveal Himself and reveal His presence and just let us know that He's mindful of us. What a God we serve. Amen. 2 Timothy tonight, book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. We're going to try our best with the help of the Lord to conclude the thought that we began on Wednesday night. Amen. And conclude the thought on the judgment seat of Christ. I appreciate the liberty that the Lord's had us and given us in every service to be able to preach. And I don't ever want to take that for granted. I want to be so thankful that the Lord would help us in that regard. And I trust that we've been able to say something, give you something from the Word of God that encouraged your heart and admonished us in the Lord and the work of God and strengthened us for the coming days. Amen. I believe again, we are in the last ones. Amen. And we need to be revived and strengthened and to have our focus, amen, upon Him and what awaits us beyond this life. Boy, it is just a vapor, ain't it? I'm telling you, it's just fleeting. It's passing. And before we know it, our life's journey will be over and we'll stand before the Lord. And I trust we would search our hearts tonight with that in mind. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Thank you again, church, and for your hospitality. I told them this last night. My wife already gave the punchline, but man, I do love gift baskets. Man, I really do. I'm an evangelist, man. I get to enjoy those things. That's my highlight. I told them, I said, I believe in democracy. I really do. I believe in democracy. But when it comes to gift baskets, I'm a communist. I'm a socialist if there ever was one. Amen. It all belongs to me and I delegate what they deserve. Amen. So I appreciate that. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Amen. I've been married almost 12 years. You don't get married 12 years taking over gift baskets. Amen. Anyhow, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank you, church, for your hospitality. It's been a joy to be with you this week and look forward to what the Lord has in store for us again tonight and on the Lord's Day. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And may I say, the time has arrived. Amen. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen. We talk about job security for preachers. Amen. You want job security, just be a teacher. Amen. Amen. Because the day's coming where they can't take preaching anymore. Amen. Amen. You try to give somebody truth and try to help somebody and you tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. They don't want to hear it. They've got an itch in the ear that needs somebody to scratch it. Amen. I don't plan on reaching in your ear, scratching nothing. I plan on shouting it, preaching it out. Amen. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Father, once again, we come before You. We bow our unworthy head, and Lord, we beg for Your touch. God, we're so thankful to be in your house, so thankful to be with God's people. And we thank you for liberty that we still yet have in this country to open up the wonderful words of life and be able to preach it. Lord, to gather together and worship you, to hear the songs of Zion. And Lord, how you stirred our heart in remembrance of your goodness, of your grace, and the glory that you deserve. I pray now that you'd help us, Lord, as we try to handle your book. I pray that you would give us that touch and, Lord, that anointing, that help from another world. God, I pray that you would, Lord, hide us behind the cross, and may the glory of God shine through. I pray that you would take our feeble words. I pray that we would not preach, Lord, in man's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I pray that your will would be done. I pray, Father, that you would deal with a sinner. May you deal with the saint. I pray, Father, that we would leave this place, Lord, tonight, changed eternally. I pray that the will of God would be accomplished. May in all things you be preeminent and receive the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask all these things. And for your name's sake, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We are dealing with the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. We have talked about, and I've got two messages worth, amen, that I can't really get bogged down and review, but I will try to get through this as quickly as I can and get to the last thought, the last couple of thoughts that the Lord's directed our mind to once again today. But as we consider the judgment seat of Christ, we understand that this judgment seat, this setting, is only applicable to those who have been gloriously saved by the grace of God. It is only those that have been born again and made part of the family of God. We understand that the judgment seat is going to precede the resurrection and the rapture of the saint. Amen. There is coming a day, praise God, when the trumpet will sound. The voice of God will, amen, the shout will ring out, and the voice of the archangel will sound out that there is the coming of the Lord. It will announce it, and what a day it will be. I trust that he finds you ready to meet him when he does come. Oh, if you don't know that if you're ready, if you don't know, if you don't have assurance in your heart that you will meet him over yonder when that trump sounds, I'm glad tonight you can get that assurance. Amen. Praise God. Put your faith and trust in him. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wicked ways. Amen. And turn to Jesus. Praise God. Put your faith in him. And I'm telling you, amen, you can know the joy of salvation, and you can have the hope of every believer, and that is, praise God, one of these days when it's all over, we'll be with him for all of eternity, and what a day it will be. Amen. It's going to involve the righteousness of the saints. Amen. As God comes back, amen, when that rapture takes place, we're going to stand before the Lord, and in a moment, we shall all be changed. Amen. We're going to be changed because we'll see him as he is, and we will be like him. Amen. It's going to involve the reward of the saints. Amen. As God comes back, amen, as we are called away, there'll be a reunion take place. That righteousness is going to be imputed to us, amen, as that corruption is dropped and we've stepped into incorruption, amen. But then there is going to be a time where the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to impart to us the reward for the things that we have done in this life. We find out, and we dealt with this already, but we find out that it is going to be made manifest in a work and a setting we call the judgment seat of Christ, where he is going to manifest the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Again, it's not that they are bad and good. It's not sin or righteousness. That's not what he's dealing with necessarily, but he is going to be dealing with what is profitable and what was unprofitable. Again, there are things we do that are not sinful, but they are not profitable in eternity. They're not going to do you a lick of good. Amen. So we begin to deal with the judgment seat. The rapture's taken place. The bride of Christ has been raptured out of this earth. Here upon this earth, amen, they will face the 7 years of tribulation as God Almighty pours out His wrath upon those that have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace He extended them at Calvary. He will pour out His wrath upon this earth. Are you hearing me? He will pour out His wrath upon this earth. Amen. And it'll be the wrath of God as He makes this earth His footstool in preparation for the coming King, amen, of the Jews. Amen. Amen. That's another message. But anyhow, as we consider the judgment seat, we have been raptured. We're in reunion. We're rejoicing. But then the throne is set up. Amen. And the time of judgment will arrive. We will see Him who sits upon the throne. It is, like, number one, that person that we discuss that sits upon the throne or the judgment seat will be Jesus. Amen. The only one worthy to sit upon such a seat. The only one who is able to judge us. Amen. That is the Lord. Amen. Paul said, I am judged of no man, but I am judged of Him. Amen. He's the only one that matters. Amen. And so He is the one that will sit upon the throne. He's the person of the throne. The place of the throne, I believe, will be in the air as we've been caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It will be there suspended in out in space and time. We will be out of sight, out of time, and facing the judgment seat. It is going to precede our procession into the city, and it's going to precede our presentation unto the Father. For the Lord will not present His bride unto the God the Father until His bride hath made herself ready. Amen. The place of the throne. We dealt with the purpose of the throne. The threefold purpose of the throne is to classify, to purify, amen, to glorify. Amen. It is not a judicial seat. It's a tribunal seat. We're not facing judgment for our sin. We said it again. I'll emphasize it one more time. Amen. That we are not facing the judgment seat according, He is not judging the bride according to the sins we've committed against Him. But He is judging us rather against the, according to the truth that He has committed unto us. Amen. Amen. That's what the judgment is going to be based upon. The truth that He's given us. What have we done with the truth that we've been given? Amen. The people before the throne, those that had a determined finish, those with dwindled future, those with deserting in the fight, those that have discontinued their faith, there is going to be those, I truly believe, there will be those that we are surprised are there. And there's going to be those missing that we thought would have been there. Amen. That's exactly right. That's going to take place. Amen. At the judgment seat. But the truth is that every saint, everyone that's been born of God, will stand at the judgment seat. You will stand there and you will have to give an account. Amen. If this judgment takes place to those who have finished their race, whether or not they finished it at all. Amen. Amen. It is going to be a terrible time. It's going to be a terrible time. Yes, sir, we understand, we sing the songs, there'll be no more tears. Amen. No more crying, no more dying. Thank God that's the truth. Amen. But let me tell you something about the tears in heaven. There's going to be a whole lot of weeping at the judgment seat. Yes, by the way, there is going to be a time where there will be no more tears. But that ain't until Revelation chapter number 21. Amen. Amen. That's after the great white throne judgment when this earth passes away. Amen. When the final judgment's been passed. When the last loved one has been cast into the lake of fire. At that point, God the Father will wipe away all of our tears. But until then, amen, tears will flow in glory. We have to give an account. We have to give an account. Amen. That will in no wise diminish the glory. That will in no wise diminish the worship. But it does let us know that there is going to be a soberness in eternity. The proving of the throne. We understand that He has got to prove us. He has got to prove us. He is going to judge us. We talked about this setting. And I'll reemphasize as we get down to where we need to be. That God the judge that tribunal judge, if you will, that competitor judge. He is the only one who is worthy to cast an opinion. He's the only one who can make the right judgment. Right. He knows your frame. He knows who you are. Right. He knows your abilities. He knows your potential. And he is going to reveal to us what we have accomplished. But at the same time, he is then going to reveal what we should have accomplished. What we could have accomplished. He'll reveal our potential and actually what we accomplished. And everything in between will be our loss. Everything in between will be our loss. Now, I'm going to get down to this and I'll get to it in just a minute. But we talk about, first of all, that he's going to prove your function in the body, the church. I believe he's going to put every local church to every local church. Amen. I believe he's going to separate that thing out. And when he does, amen, he said judgment begins at the house of God. It's in order there. Here, it'll be in order over there. He set it in order. Judgment's going to begin at the house of God. He's going to deal with the body. He's going to deal with the church. Amen. That light, that beacon, amen, that he put in order, amen, and he started and established to bear his name and represent his image in this earth. He is going to prove us as the body. He'll put us in the local church. He'll put us together in those bodies. And he is going to prove your function. How did you respond to preaching? How did you respond to preaching? Did you hear preaching? Did you hear preaching that you were able to pick apart? Take what you wanted and dispose of what you didn't like. Did you hear preaching hearing it as, well, that's just his opinion. Did you hear preaching as, well, you can't find it in the Bible, and it's not actually in the words here, that going to the movies is wicked or anything. So really, it's not nothing wrong with it. There's nothing in the Bible against it. Well, there may not be nothing in the Bible against going to the movies or such things like that. But it's the principles of the Word of God that we preach and that we practice. And the principles are against us being conformed to the image of the world. Amen. Amen. So it's going to prove our response to preaching. Amen. It's going to prove our role in participation. Did we get involved? Daddy, did you have your family involved? Were you faithful? Amen. I'll say it again. Unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Amen. He's painful and good for nothing. Amen. The riches of the partnerships and provisions. Have you robbed God in your tithes and your offerings? Amen. Let me tell you something. I heard Brother Williamson say that you can't outgive God. And that's the truth. You can't do it. Amen. You cannot do it. Amen. He will be a debtor to no man. The realness of their prayer. Have you prayed? Have your prayers. He talked about praying one for another. And I'm talking about lifting up one another's burdens, bearing one another's burdens, and fulfilling the law of God. Amen. Have you prayed? Have you labored in prayer for the body? Have you done your part? He said, my house should be called the house of prayer. Is it the house of prayer? What kind of priority has been placed upon prayer? The realness of your prayer, the recompense of your praise, your relationship to God's people. Amen. He's going to prove it. He's going to prove it. He's going to reveal to Island Ford Baptist Church what you accomplished as a body. And he's going to reveal what you could have accomplished. And when that time comes, when that loss has been figured and calculated, the Lord is going to look at his man. The man that has to give an account of us. He's going to look to his man and he's going to demand an answer. And as the account is given from the man of God, only he will be able to speak in your behalf. Only he will speak in your behalf and the behalf of your family. Oh, would he do that with joy tonight or would he do it with grief? How's your function in the body? Number two, we dealt with your framework last night, your framing as the building of a Christian. What are you building? How are you building? When He saves you, He puts you on a firm foundation. Amen. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, I'm glad when He saved me, He put me on a firm foundation. Amen. Amen. It's a foundation that's never failed. Amen. It's never been shaken, not one time. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm on the right foundation. But how are you building on it? We dealt with the six materials, the six building materials that are found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. There is hay, stubble, and wood, and gold, silver, precious stone that we dealt with. We looked at hay being the works of the flesh. Things that we have done, things that have cost us our energy and our effort and what we've invested our lives in that are just after the affections, the amusements, amen, the appeasement of this rotten flesh. Again, the things that we do may not be sinful in that regard. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with hunting as long as those things don't have you. Nothing wrong with things like that. In time, God's built this body of ours to take time to get away, to relax, unwind. But I'm telling you, I feel like preaching right about now. I'm gonna hook up right here just a minute, real quick. All right. But I'm telling you, there's this mentality. I heard this down south, and this pastor who talked about maintaining balance in his life. And what he was using, that word balance, being balanced, is he was talking about the need to go do some more fishing and more hunting. But the reason why he wanted to go do it, and he's talking about balance, he was saying the reason why he was not doing as much soul winning, or why he was not doing as much preaching, and why he wasn't teaching as much, and why he wasn't being involved as much in the work of God, because he needed to unwind some more. He needed to find a good balance. He was over-involved. You hear me? And so he used the word balance. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about balance. Can I just use a physical illustration real quick? This country boy terminology. You know when you use the word balance, you talk about a wheel balancing your tire. You know, when it's out of balance, you'll wear it out. So it's good to maintain balance. But you know something about balancing? Balancing never takes away from the wheel. Balancing doesn't take away from the will of God for your life. Amen. It's something that gets added to the will of God that helps maintain balance. Amen. Amen. So these guys that claim balance that are taken away from doing the will of God, that's just lazy. Amen. That is involving your life and investing your life in the works of the flesh. And when you stand before God with those things, amen, you will stand before Him and it'll be hay, it'll burn like powder. Amen. Things that are done with appetite and affections of the flesh, the attention of the flesh, things that we talk about, the dress of the flesh, the attachments that we have. It is amazing how attached people become to things that are going to burn up. Amen. I mean, dear sister, she just got the new vehicle. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. I enjoy getting new vehicles next man. I enjoy the smell of the new leather seats and everything like that. But it is amazing how fast that thing gets old. Amen. And when that thing really breaks down, I mean, it's all of a sudden what was so special to you at one point don't mean a lick of nothing to you at that point. Amen. You wish you could drive it off a cliff and could be insurance fraud, but it's all said and done. That's exactly right. Amen. Don't mean anything to you. It gets old. It wears away. People are invested in their houses. I mean, that's all. They're consumed with what they possess, what they have. Amen. The new bow, the new fishing rod, the new boat, the new car, the new house. Amen. All that's involved that we get so attached to, it does not do anything for us at the judgment. All the labor and all the effort, all the dollars that we spent to have things, it's going to burn. It's going to burn you. Hey, stubble, works that are fruitless. Those things that we have done that have lacked a burden. Things that we've involved ourselves in, even in the work of God, where we have lacked a passion. We've lacked the touch of God, the power of God. And we have, in all of our efforts, all we've presented and all we've got accomplished is a piece of stubble that is fruitless. It has no fruit to bear. Amen. Amen. And wood, I believe, is those works that are faithless. We dealt with this last night. I'm trying to move on. Works that are faithless. The things that we've endeavored to do and we have accomplished because we knew how to do it. Amen. We just knew how to do it. Sermons that we've preached, and we preached on preacher, and it was man's wisdom. It was our intelligence. It was our know-how. It was our ability. Amen. Amen. And I don't care what good thing may have come from it, if any good thing could have came from it, but if any good thing did, because we accomplished that in the strength of our own self, for our own name and our own glory, at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be presented as wood. You can build a pretty good structure with wood. But when the fire's put to it, it ends up in the same spot as the hay and the stubble. It ends up in ashes. Amen. Every song we sing, every song that's sung, every time we lead the singing, Brother Philip, every time we play the piano and the instruments, if we do it in the skill and the ability of our own self, that means we are out to receive glory to ourself and not give glory unto God. Amen. Amen. So what do we do? What have you done in faith? Trusting that God would do it through you. That it wouldn't be you doing it, but that it's God doing it. Amen. Amen. Wood, this word faithless. Gold, we dealt with the worship. I believe that's going to be the exact opposite of that wood. It's those things that are done sacrificially. Those things done in the power of the Spirit. Those things that are to be given unto the Lord. Lord, I'm giving you my talent. I'm giving you my ability. And Lord, I'm asking you to do what you can't, what I cannot do in my own strength. I'm asking you to do it through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, when God gets that kind of recognition and we throw that kind of dependence and faith on God, God gets honored. God gets glorified and He starts paying attention. Amen. Gold, silver, it I believe is service that's not just sacrificial, but silver that is sanctified. That's purged, that's purified, and it's submitted unto the purpose of the sovereign God of heaven. Amen. Amen. Serving. Those young ladies talking about serving. I'm telling you, you've got a role in this body. You've got a role for your life. God's got a role for you to do and to accomplish. If that's cleaning toilets, clean the toilet to the glory of God. I'm telling you, when you don't feel like serving, when you don't feel like going another mile, go another mile. Amen. Stay submitted. Stay right. Trust God. I'm telling you what'll come forth in your efforts. Amen. At the judgment seat, silver will be poured out. When service that has been sacrificial and service that has been sanctified and submitted to the will of God. Precious stones will be our witness. Service that's about souls. Amen. Amen. I'll say it again. And preacher and I talked about it a little bit last night, but God's not as much interested in the one that is the soul winner. Amen. He that watereth is nothing. Amen. He that planteth is nothing. He ain't nothing. It's God that gives the increase. And I tell you right now, amen, if you've got the right burden and you've got the right faith and you try to reach out, I don't care if they do reject you, and there'll be a many. Few there'll be that find it, amen. Amen. Many are on that path to destruction, on their way to hell. But I'm telling you, there'll be some. There'll be some that will reject you. There'll be some that may receive it. But I'm telling you, that's not up to you. Just tell them the good news. Amen. Tell them that Jesus saves. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Tell them that Jesus can rescue. Amen. That Jesus can get them up out of the muck and the mire of the sin. Get them out of the destruction of their life. He can rescue, praise God. He can save and heal alone. Amen. Just tell them the news. Tell them the good news. Amen. And I'm telling you, you do that in faith and you do that with a burden for their soul. Praise God. I'm telling you, when you stand before Him, there'll be some precious stones that you have. Amen. Put in your hands. Amen. Put in the crown because you reached out.
Amen.
And you try to win souls for God.
Amen.
Amen. We focus a whole lot on numbers. But God wasn't interested. There ain't nothing interested in no numbers in the Bible. Amen. God gives increase. Amen. 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 Daniel 12, he said, but go thy way till the end be, for the rest thou shalt rest and stand in the lot at the end of days. You're going to stand in the lot that you're building now. Amen. He's got to prove us. He's got to prove us. Here's, I want to get this real quick and then we'll get this last point and be done. But I think about that parable in the Bible where that master came to his servants and he gave the talents. He gave to one 5 and he gave to the other 3, I believe. Is that right? 2. And he gave to the other 1. 5, 2, and 1. We know the story. The one with 5 went out and labored. And with the 5 talents, he was able to produce another 5. And he come back with 10. You know what he did? He reached maximum potential. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. It's possible to reach potential for the Lord. Amen. And here he is. He reached his maximum potential. He did what he could do. And though he was limited by just the 5 talents that he had, he went out and did something with it.
That's right.
He didn't waste what the master gave him.
Right.
The man with the 2 talents, he didn't come back with 10, but he came back with 4.
Right.
You know what he did? He reached potential.
That's right.
Amen. He reached potential. He come back. He utilized what God gave him. Amen. And when he stood before the master, he stood unashamed because he accomplished, amen, he accomplished what he could for the glory of God. But then there was one that only had 1 talent. Oh, he didn't have as much as the other one 5. He didn't have even as much as the one with 2. But he had 1. But instead of using it for the glory of God, instead of dedicating it and investing it in the will of the Lord, he took it back and he suffocated it, if you will. He held on to it. He hid it and put it away. There's a whole lot of talent. You understand that when God has a church, He puts every piece, every member in the body to fulfill the purpose and the function of the body.
That's right. Yes, sir.
What that lets me know is, and most churches struggle, is because that the church pews are filled with people that have talents that they're hiding.
Right.
They're wasting them.
Right.
They've tucked them away. Amen. And they've just not utilized them.
Right.
Now here's the thing. When the master came, you know what he had to offer to God? He had the 1 talent to offer. He had the 1 talent that God gave him beginning. He still had it. He didn't do anything with it, but he had it. But God revealed what he could have done. And then what he did. And the loss, the difference, was that what he should have accomplished with what he had was nothing.
Right.
So the end result, though he still had the 1 talent, was nothing.
Right.
Amen. So you know what God did? What the master did with the 1 talent?
Yes, sir.
He took it away. You may have talents to serve God, but if you don't ever use them, you stand before God with all the abilities in the world, but if you've never used them for the will of God and for the glory of God, I'm telling you, in that day, that loss that you suffer will be great, so great He'll take it away from you and give it to someone who's more worthy.
Right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know what it may be to keep you from serving God, getting involved, singing, being a part of the services, but I junk my pride tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And I would buy in, invest, and get involved, praise God, in the work of God.
Amen.
Otherwise, you'll stand before Him ashamed with absolutely nothing but what He gave you in the beginning, amen, to serve Him with, and you've done nothing with it. And I'm telling you, when it's all said and done, you'll stand before Him empty-handed. You'll stand in the ashes, say, but so as by fire. Amen. He's going to prove your function in the body of the church. He's going to prove your framework as the building of the Christian. And number three, He's going to prove your faithfulness as the bride of Christ. Your faithfulness as the bride of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Brother Ethan, how long y'all been married now?
9 months.
I about had him. It's close. 9 months. Brother Ethan, you've been married 9 months. Would you be okay with 60% faithfulness from your bride?
No.
How long you been married, brother? Oh, yeah. It's on tonight.
3 years.
Would you be all right with 3 years? Would you be all right with 70% faithfulness from your wife?
No.
How long, brother? 31. What about that? Would you be all right with 85% faithfulness from your wife? What about 95% faithfulness? I didn't. Had enough of that stunned look. Brother Herbert, would you be all right with 99.9% faithfulness from your bride? 100%. We expect that from our bride, from our spouse.
Yeah, you're right on it, brother.
But for some reason, we think we're going to stand before our bridegroom, and he's not going to expect 100% faithfulness. We have been so unfaithful. And we're going to stand before Him as the bride, before our betrothed, and He is going to prove His bride in her faithfulness to Him.
Yep.
Have you been faithful?
Amen.
Have you been faithful? You see, it's not going to be just about a record of what you did. It's not just going to be a recording. It's not going to be just a revelation of what you said. But it's then going to be a revelation of why you did what you did. And why you said what you said. It's not just going to be what you did with the body, but He's going to look in the heart and He's going to see the motive. He's going to pull out the inward part of man and He's going to reveal what's been in here all along.
Right.
It'd be bad enough just Him knowing what I did and knowing the things that I've said and those things being revealed. Oh, but for Him to know my heart. We use the saying, and we've used it before, God don't look on the outward appearance, He looks on the heart. You don't want Him looking there. You don't want Him searching your heart. That heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He's going to prove it. He's going to prove it. He's going to prove your faithfulness as a bride. Did you love Him? Did you love Him purely? Oh, I think of that example to Peter. Peter, do you love me? And we understand those words are different in Peter's response. Lord, you know I love you, but he wasn't using the same word, that agape love. He wasn't using those words. What he was saying was, well, Lord, I like you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I like you. I'm connected to you. I'm affectionate for you. Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Those things that we've invested our life in, those things that have caught our attention and grabbed our affection, he's going to ask, where was your love at for him? You love the things of this world. We love the ball games and we love the things and the appetites of our flesh, the things we long for. He's going to ask, where was your love for him? Did you love him purely? If you loved him purely, you had to love him in truth. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. If you are going to love him, if you have a right kind of love for God, it is a love that is based in truth. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you're not right with the book, you ain't right with God. If this book rubs you the wrong way, you're not right with him. If this book bothers you, if this book is burdensome to you, I'm telling you the reason why it is, the reason why it's the schoolmaster, the reason why it's a taskmaster, is because your love for God is not right. Because if you love him like you say you do, if you love him like you're supposed to, oh, this book doesn't grieve you. This book doesn't bother you at all. Oh, I'm telling you right now, would to God our churches would be filled with people that just love God. If you had a group of people that just love God more than anything else in the world, preacher, you could preach whatever you wanted to, and they'd do it. They'd follow. No questions asked, amen. If it's in the book, they'd follow. The reason why you struggle with sin, the reason why you struggle with sin, disobedience, is because you don't love him like you say you do.
Right.
You love him in truth? Do you love him in temptation? How's your love tonight? How's your love? Do you love him in temptation? You see, every man's tempted. You can stop right there and realize we all face temptation. You're going to be tempted, young man. You're going to be tempted. Oh, yes. You're going to have to face it. God doesn't tempt no man. He doesn't tempt anyone. But he allows temptation. But he's in that temptation, he's always made a way to escape. Praise God that you may be able to bear it. Temptation comes. Oh my, yes it does. I face my share of temptation and will. But I'm telling you right smack dab in the middle of that temptation. Amen. When there's a choice that's given to commit and surrender that temptation, God will, amen, reveal to you an exit sign, amen, to escape. And I'm telling you the only people that make that choice to escape that temptation will be those who love him more than they love their own flesh.
Amen.
Do you love him in temptation? You need to understand. You need to understand every man's tempted. It's been preached at our church. I'm going to preach it again. Amen. But every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. It is not the world, sir. It is not the world out there that's pulling on you. That's not what's happening. There's something in there that's pulling toward them. And that's the lust of the man. That's the depraved nature of man. Oh yeah, that unredeemed part, praise God, we're going to one day get rid of. And I'm telling you, that part's alive and well. It's strong. Are you hearing me? And it grabs and it holds when that temptation takes place. And I'm telling you, at that point in time, the only way you'll ever overcome the lust of the flesh is if you have the right kind of love for God. Amen. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. It's the only way out. It's a love, the love in truth, the love in temptation, a love that trusts. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Do you trust his control? Do you? How worried are you about tomorrow? How fearful are you about the future? This world thrives on fear. This world thrives on turmoil, unrest, and no peace. But I'm telling you, to the saint of God that loves him, oh, there's a trust there. Oh, your marriages, those that are married in here, it wouldn't be nothing if there was no trust there. But I'm telling you, you can trust him tonight. You can put your trust in his ability to control whatever comes your way. Amen. Sometimes he allows things that'll just about take you down. There are things that'll rob your joy, rob your rest, rob you of a peace of mind. Things that he allows, oh, that'll put you at the bottom of despair. You hear me? With a broken heart and with a broken mind. But I'm telling you, if you really love him in those dark days, in those desperate days, in those dark, discouraging days, I'm telling you, if you love him, you can lean and trust him. Not lean on your own understanding, but put your faith in him who does all things well. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can trust him and his control. Amen. I trust him in control. Amen. I trust him to be contented. Amen. Amen. I know that he will safely carry me through. But praise God, I've been far enough to know he'll not only keep me safely through, but he'll satisfy me for the journey. Praise God. Amen. I'm happy in Jesus this evening. I'm happy in Jesus alone. Amen. He satisfied my soul when he saved me. And he's kept me contented for the journey. I'm satisfied with him. I trust him. In my contentment, I trust him for care that he will supply every need. Amen. I trust him for comfort in the middle of my sorrow. I trust him for company. Amen. In my solitude, when it feels like everybody has left or nobody understands and I'm alone where I'm at, I'm telling you, I'm so glad, praise God, that my Savior has never left me. Oh, he's never forsaken me, and he's made sure to let his presence come by in those dark, lonely times to let me know that he's there and that he still loves me and he's doing what's best. Amen. If you don't have the right kind of love for God, in those days, it'll turn bitter and you'll despise him. There are people tonight that if the trumpet sounded right now, they'd step into glory, bitter and angry at the Lord. Did you love him? Or did you live a life? Are you living a life that's doubting his power? Discontented in his purpose? Disgruntled with his provision? Discouraged even though he's present? Defeated when he's got a plan? Depressed while he's proving you? destitute while you're surrounded with the people of God. Dread missing out on His peace. Let me tell you something. Fear is a terrible thing.
Yes, it is.
But perfect love casteth out all fear. I'm telling you, you love God. Amen. If you love Him, amen. If you love Him, you'll trust Him.
Amen.
It's a love that's pure. It's a longing for His presence. It's labor in His purpose. It's lasting while He proves you. And it's looking for His promise. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm asking you, do you love Him? Do you love it? I'll tell you the sign of that individual that doesn't have the right kind of love for God. Here he is. He'll be the one that'll step out of this life into the next with unconfessed sin. Oh, the function is going to be unfulfilled potential. The building, the framework's going to be an unfinished task. But your faithfulness to the bride will be that unconfessed sin where you love something more than Him. You see, he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You know that verse follows? Beloved, now we're the sons of God. He talks about the love of God in those preceding verses. I've got it written down. I didn't got time to go through there and read it, but you read 1 John chapter 2, the last few verses in verse number 3. He talks about the love of God being perfected in us. That love of God, looking that we would not be ashamed at His coming. What He's talking about is letting things, bitterness and sin, the flesh and the world and the devil, having a foothold and strongholds in our life. And we step out of here when He's given us everything we need to make it right with God, right with our bridegroom before we meet Him. We're all going to fail. We all come short. But I'm telling you, you ain't got to check out of this life not right with God. You ain't got to leave this building tonight not right with God. Amen. And if you really love Him tonight, if you really love Him and the thing's not right, I'm telling you there ought to be something inside of your heart that wants to get it right with Him.
Amen.
Oh, don't leave here tonight without getting it right with God, whatever it may be. What's the reason? I'm done. What's the reason? What's the purpose? For the judgment seat of Christ, it is to classify, to purify, to glorify. You see, this is not the proving of the throne I want to look at, but I want to notice lastly, the praises of the throne. Amen.
Amen.
He has a reward. Yes. Amen. He has a reward. I know that many of us will suffer loss in that day, but praise God. Amen. When it's all said and done, I pray to God, with every fiber of my being, I hope that I do not stand empty-handed. But I hope to receive something, some reward. Oh, for the glory of God. We understand there's the incorruptible crown, mastery of the old man, the crown of rejoicing, the man, the one who's a soul winner for the glory of God. The crown of life will be given to those that endured the trials. The crown of righteousness, those that loved His appearing. And the crown of glory will be to those men of God that were willing to feed the flock of God. These rewards are given out as victor crowns. Amen. Recipients will receive them at this judgment seat. Now think about this. I'm almost done, but think about it with me just a few moments. Think about the bride. When the last fire has fallen, and the last spot of flesh has been burned away, there will be the bride of Christ for the first time. For the first time, she's gonna be spotless.
Amen.
Amen. There won't be a blemish. There won't be a wrinkle. There'll be nothing, amen, for the accuser to point a finger at. Praise God. We will be for the first time, amen, righteous, pure, holy in the sight of God.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Brother Clarence, tonight? Oh, can you imagine the day when we, amen, the bride have been purged? Oh, what a terrible time. But then just on the other side of that purging, we'll step out on the other side, robed in the righteousness of His dear Son. Amen. Can you imagine, amen, our presentation in that city as we began our march to the throne of God? Can you imagine the glory? Oh, praise God. When John saw the bride, he said she had the glory of God. Something we've been missing, amen, for over 2,000 years. We'll have it in that day. Amen. Amen. As we march to the throne, here's what Peter said when we stand before Him. I believe God the Father will for the first time see the bride, amen, spotless and pure. And for the first time, as He sees the bride for His only begotten Son, He'll nod His approval and He will give. The Bible says we shall have praise of God.
Amen.
You think about that statement. When God the Father sees that bride that's been purified, and He nods in approval. That right there is a bride that's worthy for my begotten Son. I don't know about you, but that helps me tonight, amen. I'm telling you, we that were nothing, praise God, wicked and ungodly, stooped in our sin, depraved by nature, now we possess the glory of God, amen. And God nods in approval and begins to praise, compliment the bride. We'll sit there as that bride and receive the praise of God. But about that time, the trumpet's going to sound. I think a horn might blast. And all of our attention will turn back to the back of the room. And when we all turn back, I think we'll see what John saw. Amen. John looked back and he thought to see a lion, but he didn't see a lion. He looked back and he saw a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, I believe the church, just like John, their eyes will go back expecting to see the King crowned in glory. But instead, we'll see our darling Savior. We'll see the nail prints in His hands and in His feet. We'll see His visage marred. And I tell you what I believe will happen in that moment. In that moment, God is going to reveal. God is going to reveal the life of Christ. He's going to reveal His expectation. And what He expected was nothing less than perfection. Praise God. But when He reveals His expectation, He'll reveal the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there with the life, Jesus Christ will meet the demands of God. Amen. Point by point, prophecy by prophecy, He'll fulfill everything. Amen. It's already been settled, but we will for the first time see what Jesus did to put us and make us the bride. And I'm telling you in that moment, amen, we will take on worthy hands and the crowns will come off, the reward and the gold and the silver and the precious stones. We'll cast at His feet and we'll cry out, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. To whom be glory, to whom be honor, to whom be power and dominion forever and ever and ever. Amen. We'll see Him reach maximum potential. And when we see Him reach maximum potential, everything that we've earned, everything we've had, that we've come through the fire with, in that moment, oh, in that moment, it'll seem like so little for what He's done for us. It'll seem so insignificant. And we will humbly, oh, and unworthily, cast it at His feet. Because what that reward represents is our ability to give Him glory. The reason why it's so important that we live for God here. Oh, the reason why we got to give it our all is because there's coming a day, oh, when we see Him, we'll want to glorify Him with every fiber of our being. But the ability that you will possess to glorify Him hinges directly on what you've been left with. And there will be those that'll stand before God with nothing. And as the bride, groom comes through, and all the glory and praise belongs to Him. And as we worship Him, there will be those with nothing to lay at His feet. And they will spend all of eternity with no ability to glorify Him. I'm talking about what you're doing in this life that is but a vapor has eternal ramification. Oh, I'm not going to be jealous of what you have to glorify Him with. You're not going to be jealous of anything that I have to glorify Him with. We're going to be sinless and perfect in the sight of God. But in that day, some may have just a little handful of gold, but they'll give it, and they'll give it all to Him, because all glory is going to belong to Him. But that's all they're going to have. That's all the glory they'll be able to give Him. And then there'll be those, praise God, that finish well, that reaped the crowns, and they'll be able to bring Him great glory and great honor. What I'm trying to tell you is, it pays to serve God.
Sure it does.
Oh, it pays to give God your all. To give Him everything. Oh, this things of this earth, all tonight, should they become strangely dim. And let your focus on eternity of glorifying the Lord. And realize the only thing you'll have to glorify Him with is what you are doing right now. I do not want to be left empty-handed with nothing to glorify Him. It'll have ramifications throughout eternity. It'll have ramifications, I believe, in the kingdom, how we reign with Him. Oh, to think of standing before the God, the Savior, who gave everything for you, and have to give an account to that one, having done so little for Him. Truly the shame will be more than we can bear. I wonder tonight, how's your love? What's your role? What's your relationship? How are you building? What are you doing? What are you endeavoring in that's going to have eternal weight in glory? It's everybody stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you right with God tonight? Are you right with God? Can you honestly say, can you honestly tell me tonight, preacher, I am ready right now to meet God. Right now, preacher, let the trumpet sound, I'm ready to meet Him. Right now, if death should pass by your way, have you done enough for God to last Have you done anything for him that would bring him glory? That would bring him eternal praise? Are you right with him? Do you love him tonight? We love him because he first loved us. But do you love him tonight? He's worthy. He loves us so much. Oh, can we just return that love toward him and give him our all? Give him our best. And have something to glorify him with in that day. Preacher, you're coming.